I just going to have to deliver what the Lord put on my heart. And I don't really got, I guess, what you'd call a traditional sermon or whatever, where I've studied all week on one particular thing. And what I'm just going to have to give you what God's given me. And it's just instruction, really. It's really a piece of instruction. And it's really something that's been on my heart. It's really something that could always be on our heart because of the days that we live. And just because of our hearts as people and who we are and the trials and the temptations that in which we live. How many know that the trials and the temptations, let me just say, how many know that the temptations are just enough in the hour that we live? There is just so much. There is just so much. And I'm not even going off my notebook. I got this little thing that I doodled on. Amen. I just got, y'all in trouble when I got my little paper that I've doodled on. There ain't much on there, but that's a lot on there. But I just want to share it with you. Like I said, I kind of veer from my normal a little bit, but I feel like I do. I feel like it's just a piece of instruction, something to edify, something to instruct just a little bit, if you will. And I will read a little set of scriptures to you. Hebrews 11, verse starting with verse 24, going to verse 26 this morning. I told Dustin, I said, I done changed everything on you. Just hang with me. I said, just flow with me, Dustin. And it don't matter if I lose you, you'll catch up. And if you don't, I'll make it up there somewhere along the way. But I want to read you these about three scriptures here this morning. I want us to read them and hear what the Lord says. And most of you have heard this many times, but this was Moses in the book of faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. That's a hard choice, you know it. I know we read the Bible sometimes, and we just need to sometimes really slow down and soak it up. Because I don't know if you realize how profound most of the statements in the Bible are. That's a profound statement, that he chose rather to suffer affliction. If with God's people or under God's name, or by saying I'm a Christian, or by then saying I'm one of God's children, rather than be joined to the world or Pharaoh's house, he said, I would rather suffer affliction than listen, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Somebody say amen. Amen. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt or the world. For he had respect unto the recompense or the payoff. What serving God and what being a part of God's people, what being a part of the reward that would come with that. He said, I revere that. Heaven. It's like heaven. It's like saying, I want to go to heaven. I have more respect for heaven than I do any of the pleasures of this world. So there's a lot in stuff like that sometimes. So let's just pray real quick, and then I just want to share a couple things with you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it's always on time. I thank you, Lord, that it is instructing, and it is edifying, and it is equipping. And I pray this morning, dear God, you know how you've led me. You know how you've brought me to this spot today, and through this week even, through this journey, and through the weeks that's even led into this, dear God. And I pray that I don't fail you. I pray that I bring it across just as clear as you've put it upon my heart. So I pray for your anointing. I pray for your spirit. Because in myself, I'm nothing. I pray that you'll help me clarify it. I pray that you'll help me bring it to with a great relevance, dear God. And I pray that you allow me to send it into hearts. And your spirit then bring it to fruition, dear God. Touch and anoint in this place everyone that's come today. Let us all heed your instruction. Let us all heed your word. And let us all prosper from it. Let us all get the benefit from your word today, dear God, for it is profitable. May this be a church full of profitable people this morning, dear God. May this church be people that gets great profit from your word today. May we get strength from it. We love you. We'll praise you. And it's all in your great name, in Jesus Christ's name. And all church agree this morning, say amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. As I read that text, the Lord had been putting some things on my heart. And one of the things that he'd been putting upon my heart and has over the years, and really brought it to a place this morning to where I kind of veered from the message, if you will, to just bring you this little word of instruction, is this thought here. It's the thought about chasing happiness. I want to talk to you about that this morning, about chasing happiness. If those of you that check out Facebook, see what I put on it on Sunday mornings, because I always put a little snippet on there. That's all I put it. The Lord said, don't say nothing else. Just put chasing happiness. And that's all I put on there. And that just leaves the front door wide open, don't it? Just chasing happiness. Well, you know what? You know what this morning? And I don't ever want to come off because I'm a very happy person. I love being happy. I love enjoying life. I enjoy watching others enjoy life. Every aspect of it, I do. I enjoy it. But here's what I've learned. Here's what I'm beginning to learn. Here's what the Lord's brought to my mind, that this is a desire. Ain't it a desire? It's a desire to be happy. It's a desire for joy. It's a desire for satisfaction. It's a desire to enjoy. Don't we desire to enjoy? If we didn't, why do we do all the things that we do? I mean, I love it when Bug comes on Sunday. I desire. I enjoy that. I enjoy being with him. I enjoy that. I enjoyed Bible school especially well this year because I got to bring him one night all by myself. Can you believe that? Grandpa has graduated, and he got to bring Bug all by. And I had a curfew now. Jenny gave me a curfew because she knows me. But me and Bug, we got to come up here, and we sat on the front row there. And I got him and Scarlett. I don't know if Scarlett's in here today, but we sat on the front row, and him and Scarlett, and they both were a little shy anyway. But they sat, and they finally both got down, and I got to looking one time. Bug was, he moves like his grandpa, too. I tell you, he's slick. That's the way I used to dance. How about y'all? When y'all used to dance, I mean, y'all might still dance. But when me and Cindy danced, that's about what it was. Our slow dance, that's about what it amounted to, in circles. I got any help in here? That's the only news I had. Now, I could cut a few other jigs, but it was a different sort of spirit back then. But it's a desire, ain't it? And you know what? It's not that it's a negative thing. Because God give us that. In the very beginning, God give us the desire to enjoy. That's what the garden was all about. The Garden of Eden, when God dressed it and he fitted it and he made it special. And Eden itself, even when you say the name Eden, it just should feel, it's a sense of pleasure. It's a sense of joy. It's a sense of happiness. It's a sense where there's no sweat and there's no toil and there's no labor. But before the curse, there's no thorn, there's no briar, there's no struggle. Ain't that joy? Ain't that happiness? Where all that we know now in this world wasn't existent. It wasn't there. But it was just pure enjoyment. And God himself, remember, would come down in the cool of the evening. See, God's smart too. I'm just going to tell you right now, in the cool. I'll just tell all you, I'm a summer hater. Yes, I am. And especially this week, daggone, I hate summer. But he had come down in the cool, and they would enjoy. They would enjoy. And I guarantee you, Adam and Eve, they enjoyed. It was all about enjoyment. So God, it's origins. I know I've heard messages and preaching, and sometimes I even might even come off appearing that I'm anti-happy or anti-this or anti-joy. But no, not at all. Because God, in the beginning, give us this desire. It's the trouble is that this desire that we have, it can be dangerous. This is if this desire is not channeled, if it's not pointed, it's a dangerous desire. The desire to be happy, the desire to enjoy, chasing happiness, the desire for this fulfillment that God give us. Sometimes it can be so dangerous. I've seen many a life destroyed from people chasing happiness. I've seen many a family ruined from chasing happiness. I've seen many a good man, a good woman of God, fall from some of the pinnacles of grace, from some of the highest perches in God's seemingly grace tree, because they begin to chase happiness. It's a dangerous, desire at times. It's a hard desire sometimes. We have to watch it sometimes. You know, I got to, as I read this, I was thinking about this scriptures here this morning that we've just read, and thinking about them. Moses said he chose rather. He knew it was in him too. He had a desire. I guarantee you, when we're offered the desires of affliction over the desires of pleasure, even if it is for a season, it's hard to pick affliction. It's hard to choose. But Moses, he chose affliction over pleasure. He chose affliction over chasing some happiness or chasing some shadowy smoke dream of happiness. A season. I mean, no, a season is nothing. A season is nothing. I'll get more back to that in a minute, but a season is nothing. I got to thinking about that because he knew ultimately, because as Scripture even tells us, that when sin is finished, he said, I'm not going to enjoy not one season of sin. Not one, even if it would be more pleasurable now, I'm not going to enjoy one season. You know why? Because when sin is finished, the Bible tells us this really plain. When sin, I want you to hear this. It's in James chapter 1. We ain't on there. I didn't give it to Dustin. See, I've got him all messed up. But we're going to go with it anyway. But James 1, when sin is finished, the Bible says it brings forth death. It brings forth death. I want you to hear that. Does that sound like it's happy? Does that sound like joy? I have never in my life equated death with a good time. Would you just think about that? Though the season leading into, it may have seemed, and it may even been, as Scripture says, pleasurable. But never in my life have I looked forward to a death. I said, boy, that's going to be fun. When this particular part of life, or that, when this dies, when sin is finished. See, I believe Moses knew, even before James ever wrote it in chapter 1, Moses knew that sin, it ends with death. And I'll be better off sucking it up over here. I'll be better off enduring over here. I'll be better off persevering through this tough time. I'll be better off not enjoying these certain things or being a part of this. I'll be better off. Because when sin is finished, I done a little study here not long ago. I didn't ever preach this. It never did come about. But I was just thinking about it as it come up. You know, there's some signs. There's some signs when sin is coming to a finish in our life. I don't know why I never did get to preach that, because it was actually a good message. And maybe I should have preached it. Maybe I still will. But maybe I'll even touch a little bit on it here. But there's signs that when sin is becoming to a place where it's finished, and when it's finished, it's death. There's some signs that we're really close to some things dying. I'm not talking about all the times our physical life, but there's relationships, there's callings, there's ministries, there's friendships, there's families, there's various aspects that when we enjoy certain or partake in certain sin, or what, it brings forth death. And there's some signs that's getting close to death. There always has been. There's just some things. One of the things is you can tell that sin is getting close to death is when sin has got deep rooted in our life. When it's got so deep rooted that it's now a habit, it's now just a part of life. We don't really even it's not even really thought on. It's just who we are. It's deep rooted and it's just there. You can when that is the truth, we're really close to some things dying, or really close to some things dying in our life. Another sign is when we begin to proclaim God's approval on our sin. When we begin to say, you know, it's okay, this is all right. It's really close. It's a sign that we're close to, there's some things close to death. When we begin to say, you know what, and with no scriptural background, with no scriptural foundation, we say, you know what, God's okay with this. I know I'm the preacher that always preaches hard on sin. Well, I'm going to tell you, we have to preach hard on sin because it's killing us. It's killing us. It's killing our families. It's killing our nation. It's killing our churches. It's killing us personally. It's killing us. Sin. Nothing else. Sin was the problem in the beginning. Sin's still the problem. And just if you're here today and you take it lightly, it's killing you. And there's stuff going to die. And I guarantee you, probably stuff has already died if you've been allowing it. Because it's getting to a place. It's getting to a place where it's almost finished. Finished. So, but when we do that, when we say, you know what, God's okay with it, it's all right. We start justifying it and whatever. You know, I never heard Jesus nowhere in Scripture. Jesus so full of grace, so full of mercy, but I never heard him tell anybody, go and sin some more. Never. I never heard him say that. Said Jesus, never. Said, he's understanding, yes. He's gracious, yes. 1,000 times over. Where sin does abound, grace does much more. Over and over and over and over. But he never tells anyone in Scripture, nor does he ever told me in my life, go and sin some more. Because it's not okay. Because you know what? When it's finished, it brings forth death. Death every time. Every time. I believe that. I'll tell you another sign that we're getting close to death. When sin is almost finished, is when we decide, when we get to the place that I have no intention of ever bringing this sin to the cross. I have no intention of ever killing this sin. I have no intention. You can just think on that a minute. Sin is almost finished. Something's going to die. Either the sin or what it's going to kill. Something's going to die. And we have no intention of ever killing it. Well, it's killing us. Or it's killing something in us. Or it's killing something in our families. Amen. Y'all out there? Amen. Amen. I believe it. Or another sign is when our heart gets hard. And God, he reveals and he pokes and he prods and he pushes. And we never take any action. Or we never feel led to take any action because our hearts got hard. And he keeps revealing. And we still never take no action. And our heart has gotten hard. Sin's almost finished. I'm just telling you. I guarantee it. Sin is all there. You're near. There's something near death. Sin is almost finished. And of course, the last thing is what we're talking about this morning. The last thing I remember as I studied that was this. There's another sign. There's one more sign that when sin is almost finished, is when we begin to enjoy, or we take joy. We find happiness in the sin. When we find happiness in the sin itself, it's almost finished. It's almost finished. There's something about to die. There's something at the edge. I believe that this morning. I believe that. And that's why this is a dangerous desire. The desire to chase happiness. Because there's so many temptations that connects itself to happiness. There's so many things that fly up into our mind and into our eyes and into our thoughts every day, most every moment of every day, that says, if you go this way, you'll be happy. If you do this, you'll be happy. Come on, don't say that. You know the pull. You know the feel. You know the urge. It may be simple things, and it may be great big things, but there's all these temptations that are connected. That's why it's so dangerous. In us is this desire to be happy. God made us that way. Matter of fact, he likes it when we're happy. But he made us this way to be happy. But the enemy has come with so many roads and so many avenues and so many ways that lead, he says, to pleasure, to to joy, to happiness. And some of them do for a season. For a season. But when the season is done, it's death. And they ought to be, I don't know how many's in here this morning, they ought to be 169 people say amen. Because it's true. And if you're of any age in here at all, you've been through this struggle. And if you are any age at all, you've been faced with the same choice as Moses. And let me just say, I've won some and I've lost some. I've seen some things die. Amen. Amen. I said just a little piece of instruction this morning. That's all. Because when sin is finished, death comes. Death comes. Amen. There's in our world, you know, even today, there is this joylessness. Think about it. Everybody's choosing these paths that they think's going to bring happiness. This is a world where everybody's, I'm going to do it my way because I want to be happy. Or I hear this right regular. I just want to be happy, and they're choosing this way, totally contrary to anything godly. There's these paths and these choices. And our world is in this state of joylessness, miserableness, misery, bankrupt. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about emotionally, ruined. And it's all part of that problem. I'm going to read to you out of Deuteronomy right quick. Deuteronomy 28. I don't know if I give you that, 28, verse 45. I want to read this to you. It goes all the way back to even the curses in the scripture. All the way back to the curses. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee, overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenst not to the voice of the Lord. You know, hearkenst not to the voice of the Lord. Didn't heed to the command, to his commandment, to his statute, which he commanded thee. Verse 46. And they shall be upon thee as a sign, as for a wonder, upon thy seed forever. Now listen, verse 47. Listen, then this is the reason. Because thou servest not the Lord with joyfulness. Didn't serve God with this joyfulness, with this gladness of heart, for all his abundance. Didn't serve him. See, that's where the real joy is this morning. That's where the real gladness, that's where the real happiness is. Because, but it's all tied back into the same thing. Man's desire, they was a people just like us, a desire for happiness. And they would choose wrong. Because most of the time, let's just face it, most of the time God's word don't seem like the most likely candidate for my happiness. 9 times out of 10, it's hard to find a word in your life that you think is geared for your carnal flesh happiness. It just don't happen, does it? And that's why most of the time they would choose the other route. They would choose to not listen to God, choose not to go his way and go therefore. But therefore, shalt thou, this is the problem now. This is where we're at now. Because they didn't. This is what our world looks like now. Because our world has not chose to hearken to the Lord and to serve him with gladness. So therefore, here's the curse of it. Here's the death of it. Therefore, thou shalt serve thine enemy. It's where all the unhappiness comes from. Searching for the joy, searching, chasing happiness, and run right into an enemy. Choosing paths that lead to the enemy. Choosing paths that lead to destruction. Thou shalt serve thy enemy, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want in all things. And ye shall put a yoke of iron upon, and even to the destruction. A season. This is all about a warning this morning. This is all about an instruction. That's all it is. It's about being careful with your desire, your hunger to be happy. I just come to warn this church in this age that we live in, be so careful of this God-given, this passion for happiness, for a hunger, for joy, for gladness, for enjoyment. Be so very careful. If there's a desire that's out of control, it's that desire. If there's a desire that's run more churches and more church people, more believers, more men, more women, more families, more dads, more moms than anything else, it's the desire that happiness is over there. That I can find happiness in something else. This is not getting it. Amen. Amen. I believe it this morning. I believe it. Desire. Desire gone in a wrong course. I want to read you one more set of scriptures, and then I'm gonna cut you loose. Give me Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm pretty sure I'll give you that. Nehemiah 8. This was at a time they had rebuilt the walls. They had rebuilt the walls. Ezra the priest, Nehemiah, the great worker, had gathered all the people of Jerusalem. They'd rebuilt the walls around to protect it. The temple had been somewhat regathered, and all the people he gathered, it's no telling how many people they gathered. They was about to have church service like you ain't never seen. All the city was there. It all poured out. And then, and actually, if you went back, we won't go there, but if you went back to even the first part of this chapter, they were gathering, and even the two chapters before that, they told all the names in the chronological order and this, that, and other. But they began to, and Ezra opened a book, the Bible said. He opened the book of the law. He opened what Bible they had then. He opened the book, and all the people, of course, reverences, and they stood up, and they began to listen to the law. And as he preached, and as he didn't really preach it. As he just spoke the word and spoke the law, all he did was, can you imagine? I just thought about that. I said, I just come up in here and just start reading the law one day. Not say a word, just read right out the book. That's all Ezra did. He just started reading right out the book. And it was hours, too. In the book of Ezra, I think it tells us that he read like 6 hours. Y'all thought me and Whitlock was long. That's me and Whitlock together. And it's just straight up out the law. Amen. Be a small crowd next Sunday. Maybe. Might have a Holy Ghost breakout in that thing. You reckon? Might something actually cut loose there. That's what happened in this time. As he just read, and the Bible says that people begin to get understanding. Remember last week I told you, if a man can get understanding of the law, what the law is really for, that it's our schoolmaster, that it teaches us where we stand with God, and it teaches us when we're away from God, and it teaches us when we're over the line, when God has drawn the line and said, thou shalt not, or thou shalt, and the law just teaches us. It shows us, it points very plainly where we stand with God. That's why a lot of people don't like the law. Because the law, it don't cut no mustard. It don't ease around. It don't play with around. It just shows us, this is where you stand, don't it? When you read God's word, it's just plain. When you read the law, it says this is where you at, and this is where God thinks you should be. That's just the law. That's why we don't like it. That's why it's not suited for our happiness. Just go ahead. Go home this evening and read the law. See where you stand. See where the line is. And then I told you last week, Jesus coming, and he didn't do away with the law other than the ceremonial and the civil. But the moral law and all those things that were of God's character, he didn't do away with that. Matter of fact, he upped them. Well, I ain't going into all that again, but I showed you how he upped them, reestablished them. Reaffirmed them, made them higher. Remember? You have said of old time, thou shalt not, but I say unto you, and he began to up them. Because it shows us where we're at. Shows us what's going on in our life. And that's what Ezra did. Ezra just showed an entire city. This is where you stand. And the Bible says they begin to mourn and to weep and to cry. I'm going somewhere. And actually what they were doing, They were repenting. They were sorry. When you read the law, you find out where God stands and you find out where you stand, it should cause you to be sorry. That should bring a sorrow for sin. Come on, somebody. That's a sign that sin ain't almost done. Matter of fact, that's a sign you're about to whip sin. Hey! You're about to get victory over sin. When you can read where God stands and where you stand, and you can weep over the gap. That's how people get saved. That's how people come to Christ. Oh, bless His name. Bless His name. Well, glory. Woo! So Ezra was reading the law, and the people began to weep and to get sorrowful and to cry. And I like what he says. So as he read the book in the law, and he read it distinctly. Come on, he wasn't no patty cake preaching. He didn't jump certain spots where he had congregation members that had this going on in their life. Come on now. If he's eating pork, he called pork out. I'm being gentle. Come on now. But he read it distinctly. And he gave the sense. Amen. And he caused them to understand the reading. Remember, that's when David, he said, if you'll help me understand the law, I'll delight in it. I'll joy in it. I'll enjoy it. We need a sense of it. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshath, the Ezra, the priest, the scribe, the Levites, taught the people and said to the people, this day is holy. I'm going to tell you what, when the law's read, when the line's drawn, and you see where God stands, and you see where you stand, and there's tears, that's a holy day. This day is holy. Oh, I'll never forget it. When God began to show me where I was at, and still does, He don't have no problem with still showing me where I'm at. I'm not always on the line. He don't have no problem, but I'll never forget the day. Where I seen where God was at and where I was at, and the tears came. That day, the day. And it was a holy day. Holy. I'd like for this to be a holy day today. The day was holy unto the Lord. This is what he tells them then. This is cool. I've never seen this before. He tells them to stop mourning and to stop weeping. Think about it. Well, what's going on in the heart already went on anyway. There's repentance there. There's sorrow for where they're at. Sorrow for. He said, this is a holy day now. He says, we've moved into a holy day. I think we need more preaching that moves us into a holy day, don't y'all? This is a holy day. So don't mourn. Don't weep now. Why? Because all the people, they did weep. Why? Because they heard the law. Man, that's plain, ain't it? They heard where they stood. Nowadays, you preach some people to some people. I won't say to all, but to some, you tell them where they stand, and they'll block your eye. They'll leave your church. Not none of y'all, because I've done told y'all so many times where you stand. Y'all just hanging. Ain't none of y'all block my eye either. Might want to, but you ain't. but all the people wept because they heard the words of the Lord. Now listen, here's why he told them to not mourn and to not weep. Verse 10, he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto. Hey, we're turning this into a celebration. We're turning this into a celebration. This is changing right here. This is a holy day. Now we got more work to do because the work was nowhere near over at this time in the people's lives. But this is a holy day now because we're sorry. We're weeping. We got this repentance. He says, cut all that out now and say, let's celebrate. Let's drink the sweet. Let's eat the fat. Let's send portions to people that ain't got none. Let's have, this is a holy under our Lord. Neither be sorry. Why? For the joy. I'm going somewhere. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Woo! The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I just want to tell some of you something right now. If you're trying to operate in this world without the joy of the Lord, you're weak. You're weak. Because there's only strength in the joy of the Lord. He says, don't weep, don't sorrow no more, don't cry no more. Because this is where we, this is it. This is it. You're gonna get joy out of this. There's joy in the sense of what's going on here. There's a joy in what's happening right now. You should, at this point, there's this recognition. There's this revelation. There's this sense. I've got this sense of forgiveness. I've got this sense I'm coming back to God. I got this sense that the line is coming closer. I've got this sense that I'm getting right with God. I got this sense of assurance. I've got this confidence now. I want to tell you something. They can't none of us go very far in this walk with God without the joy of the Lord. If we don't sense that, I mean, it's good to weep. It's good to have sorrow for sin. It's good to be sorry for it. It's good to have sorrow even under repentance. It's all great and good, but Immediately, there needs to be this sense that I'm forgiven. There needs to be this sense that God's justified me. There needs to be this sense that I'm now righteous. And that's what brings the joy of the Lord. I got this sense that I'm right now with God. Now we've got strength to do work. We've got strength to move forward. We've got strength to move on because of the joy. Ain't that what the kingdom, when Jesus was teaching about it, ain't that how Jesus told us that's how we really secure the kingdom? That's what he said in Matthew 13. And then one little parable, one line. Jesus says this, and the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like unto a treasure that's hid into a field. And when a man has found it, what it, because of the joy. It's because of the joy. It's because of the joy that he goes and he sells all. Changes his whole life. I'm going to tell you something. The joy of the Lord changes everything. It changes everything. And without it, nothing changes. It's the joy of the Lord. Changes everything. Changes our entire life. He said he sold everything that I can have this treasure. You know what? God wants us to have joy. God wants us to enjoy. God wants us to be glad. He thinks thoughts of goodness for us. He thinks good thoughts. He got good plans. He works on our behalf. God wants us to joy. He wants us to tap in. He wants us to feel the assurance. He wants us to feel, to sense the forgiveness. He wants us to know that this is, we're justified. He wants us to know that we're children of God. He wants you this morning, everybody here this morning, if you're here this morning, he wants you to sense all that you can gain strength in the Lord, joy. He wants everybody here to have this joy, to have this strength. I believe that with all my heart this morning. He wants us to have it. You know why? Because that's when he's most glorified. And that's our ultimate purpose, ain't it? Is that he's glorified. And it ain't till us as his people find the joy that brings the strength, that allows us to push on and to go on and to do like Moses. Our search for happiness is in God. The desire for happiness, the desire for joy is all in God. That's how you can be a Moses, by faith. and choose rather this field and sell all. That's how it is. You can deny yourself and take up your cross. That's how it is. You can choose to follow Jesus. That's how it is. You can give up the seasons of pleasure. That's how it is. You can not be an Esau and say, I'd rather have that bowl of soup than eternal life. That's how it is. You can choose Jesus. You can choose eternity over 30 or 40 years of here. He that will try to save his life shall lose it, and him that will hate this life shall gain eternal life. Choosing. He'll choose, because this is his treasure now. And God will be glorified. I'm going to tell you right now, I can just speak from my point of view, from my fleshly view, from as a pastor, as my calling. When you guys are happy, I am rocking. When this is a happy church, I am one happy pastor. Come on, somebody. When my family's happy, I'm a happy family man. When my wife's happy, all the husband said. It's true, though, even the end of the God. God's most happy when his children are rejoicing in him, when his children are strong because of their joy. Blessed is the man who endureth trials and temptation. Blessed is that man. He's most happy when we're strong in the joy of the Lord. Most happy. Paul, get ready. Come on. God wants us that way, so that he can be glorified, so that he can be honored, so he can be lifted up. It's a dangerous desire when it's not channeled right, but it is the strength of our soul. It is the strength of our soul. When that joy of God, and this is how you know it's of God, by the way. This is how, because you know what? It comes up out of your soul. It ain't got nothing to do with what's around us. It don't matter if you got a new car. It don't matter if you got a new house. It don't matter if you got a swimming pool. It don't matter if you got a new truck. It don't matter if you got this. It don't matter if you got a new this or an old that. It ain't got the joy that I'm talking about, it comes up out of your soul. It's deeper. Oh, it's deeper. That's why it's so strong. That's why they can strip away everything of you from this world. They can strip all your loved ones. They can strip all your goods, all your wants. They can strip all that away. They can take you even unto death. And listen, for the joy that's set before you, you can endure even the cross like Christ. For the joy that's set before you, got nothing to do with what's going on. Happiness is in circumstance. Happiness is in situations. Happiness is in other things. That's not strong. It's weak. It's weak. Well, if I just had a bigger bank account, that's weak strength. That's where you'll not be strong. Well, if I just had that job, that's weak. That's why I tell you, if you've not got the joy of the Lord, you're weak. It's weak. You know what keeps you going on for 50-some years? The joy of the Lord. I say that not telling you. I say that testifying for you. For I know my journeys. My journeys would have come to an abrupt halt many years ago had it not been for the strength that I pulled out of the joy of the Lord. I know what it is to crash at the dead end roads where something is promised as happiness. I I know how that ends. I hope from this point on in my life that by faith I can choose. I can choose rather even to suffer than have even a season. What do I got left? 20, 30, whatever it is. Is that anything compared to eternity? Anything. Don't chase happiness and end up in hell. I say, don't chase happiness and end up in hell. Chase Jesus. Chase Jesus and end up in heaven. So glorious. Man ain't got the mind to even tell all that's there. Man ain't even got the feel yet to explain. Blessed is he. That makes that city his home. So I tell you this, chase happiness, but chase it God's way. Chase it godly. Chase it in God. Gain strength. Gain strength. Gain strength. Come on, stand with me this morning. Take just a minute. Bow your head. Just take just a minute. Let your spirit, Lord, let your spirit settle into this place. Touch hearts and lives now, dear God. Let this be a holy day. Father, let this be a holy day. I pray right now, mighty God, that this is a day that is becoming holy. And hearts are desirous. Hearts are hungry. Hearts are sensing that there's a grace in this place for forgiveness. Lord, show your forgiveness. Show your assurance. Show your justification. Show your righteousness. Show your presence. Be in this place today, God. Nuzzle right up to our hearts. Come right into people's lives this morning, dear God. Show your presence. There's gladness there. There's joy and gladness of all kinds there. Touch hearts in this place right now, dear God. Begin to bring grace into this place through your spirit. Begin to lead, mighty God. Lead in this place. Lead hearts. Lead hearts. Lord, there might be some here this morning that's hungry. Hungry for this joy. Hungry for this happiness. That's been chasing it in wrong places, God. Let this be the day. Let the day someone get strength from getting joy in you. Let the joy of the Lord come into this place this morning, dear God. Let hearts grab hope. Let hearts be strengthened. Let hearts get it in such a way that they can even come forth this morning, dear God. Fall on knees. Worship you. Father, let that be in this place today. Let this be a holy day.